Okay, December 18th, I think is what it was I said. I better check it again. December 18th, right. And we're looking through the book of Jude. It isn't going to take very long. We're going to get hung up on this one today here a little bit. And that is verse 11. And we're looking to Jude, not like it's to us, because it isn't to us. It's there for us. And we've learned a lot from it. We know what's coming up. We see the things that are happening now that are preparing for the tribulation, preparing for the times that Jude will be written to. And it's writing to the sanctified Jews as such, to his people that are sanctified, you know, they're saved, they say, during the tribulation. And there will be some, but they're going to have to be saved because of the Spirit of God upon their flesh is keeping them from doing wrong. And some people think, well, it's not possible. Yes, it is possible. There's been a few people in the Bible that have been righteous in their walk, and that's where God went with them. Noah, for one, I can think of. I think there's a couple other ones. It is possible. You know, when you think about it, which we have done before, what Paul asked us to do, we can do all of it. We just don't want to. That's how I put this. We can do all that Paul says to do and not to do. We'll slip up, but, you know, we can go a long time. I think if a person really tries hard and really has control of his life and et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes to the Beatitudes and some of the things in Matthew, there's some of the things that we cannot do today. It's not possible. That's in a sermon a bunch of before. You'll read it. If you get it, you'll read it. So it's really interesting. We choose not to do the things that we actually can do, or choose to do the things that we actually shouldn't be doing. We got peer pressure, or, you know, call it what you want. But what we're seeing here in verse 11 of Jude is we're heading these ways. And what we need to realize for us is, boy, be thankful for grace. Because we're doing this stuff. In some form or another, all of us have, or are, and still will. But we've got to be thankful for God's grace and the dispensation of grace and the risen Savior, what he did to us, what he actually made us free. He didn't just set us free, because that doesn't change us. And he changed us. He made us free. And all this junk that we're dealing with here is just a fleshly issue, and it will burn. And we have plenty that will burn. And that's too bad. He made it pretty simplified for us. But what we've been looking at here is verse 11, where it says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." So this is what's going on during the tribulation. These three things are biggies. I mean, they deserve a woe. And it talks back to these, verse 8, you know, the filthy dreamers, and verse 7, it's a fornicating group, it's a strange flesh. These are the things, these are the way things will be during the tribulation. And he's warning those that are, it says in verse 1, sanctified. So those are the Jewish people, or anybody who's turned to the Lord through their works, according to Revelation 14, during the tribulation. And why would he warn them if it's something they couldn't do? So during the tribulation, they can give up, they can quit, and they can lose their salvation. They can lose everything. How? Well, by going in the way of Cain, running greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and in the end, they'll perish, just like they did with Korah. So let's look at those things. This last week, we looked at going in the way of Cain, which was envy. 1 John 3:12 says that not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So Jesus was killed because of envy. Joseph had done to him what was because of envy. They did to Paul because of envy. We see in Timothy that the Bible correctors, the pastors, the people today, the modern publishers, the writers, the whole spiel, they're doing it out of envy of the King James Bible. You've got religious people, church-going people, the bickerings they have going on within the church is because of envy, according to 1 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 12. And then we even told him in Paul's days that we should not be envious. Our old nature was when we were before we were saved, was to be envious. That was part of our list of things, was we're envious of people, envious of things, envious of success, envious of somebody else getting to wear this and we can't, and envious of somebody being able to have fun and play around in the community, and we're envious. and it destroys us. Now, during the tribulation, envy will actually destroy them. During our day, during the dispensation of grace, envy isn't going to destroy our salvation, but it can destroy our spiritual walk. It can destroy our physical success. It can destroy our hearts, our attitudes. It can make us miserable because we're envious of the lost people, which we talked about last week. We're not to be envious of them. Or envious of other Christians, so-called, or envious of people that have money, or envious of the high-tech things that people have today. Go down the list. Envious of somebody's talent, envious of somebody's good looks, envious of somebody's hair. I mean, we can get really right down to it that we have a lot of envy going on in ourselves, and that causes trouble. And in the tribulation, it most definitely will cause trouble. It's one of the three biggies. Woe unto them, because they're going to go the way of Cain. Now, this morning, we're going to look at try to get the other two done here. It shouldn't be that long, really. We're going to look at running greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. We'll look at that one. And then they all will eventually perish in the gainsaying of Kor. Now, we're not going to perish in the gainsaying of Kor. And that's good. That's a fantastic thing. But this running greedily after the error of Balaam, that's, I tell you, this hits home for all of us here. So there's three things we look at with this Balaam thing here. First of all, this whole story about Balaam is in Numbers 22, 23, right? And this is where he talks to the ass, talks to him, and the whole spiel, the whole story. But you got to get the gist. It's much more than just this wild animal talking to this guy, which really is quite phenomenal, if you think about it. I mean, up there riding this critter, and like we go through the Black Hills up here, and we got all these mules and donkeys and asses, I guess, walking around up there, coming up to your car, and eating peanuts or whatever you want to give to them out of your car window. That's one of the things. And they're wild. What's a wild ass going to be out in the country? They still walk slow and look bored out of life, but they still don't have any training as such. And they come to your door, your window, and they slobber over your window, and you roll your window down, and they stick their head in the car, and you feed them, and they drool on you, and all the kids think it's just the greatest thing in the world. And it is. It's a lot of fun. I can't imagine one of them talking to me. Hey, roll down your window, bud. Yeah, here come the tourists. I mean, the whole thing. It's just, it would be a wild thing. And it's funny because nobody mentions that in here. This is the only story they get out of this Balaam thing. Well, there's more in this story. And there's three things we look at here. One is we look at the way of Balaam. And the problem in tribulation is that people are going to run greedily. So we know what we're talking about here, money. After the error of Balaam for reward. So it's about money. Running greedily, they ran greedily, so they're greedy. Boy, have you ever seen America such a greedy country right now? You can't do anything for anybody without getting a buck out of it. The unions, I mean, who knows the percentage, but man, some of the problems we're having in this country for economy is because everybody has to get involved with the union that makes sure that you get paid full pay after you quit. Now, is that insane or what? It's the benefit, the whole thing, and they're good to have. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'd like to have some of those benefits, but it's destroying this country, and people are greedy. It's greedy. I had one of my kids the other day. Slow down, okay? One of my kids a couple weeks, months ago, we were talking about money and stuff in the country, and she's a fifth grader, and she said, "Yeah, I want people to give. I expect people to give me. We deserve the country to give us money so we can live, and that's where these kids are coming from." Amazing. Greed, greedily, greed, 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 greed. So we're looking at three things: the way of Balaam, the error of Balaam, and we'll just take a quick peek at the doctrine of Balaam. So this Balaam guy's got far more going for him in the Bible than just this story about him having this ass talk to him, this wild ass talk to him. I think I did a sermon about that a long time ago. Whose ass are you? And it was done in a very proper manner. Remember that, Bob? Patience. I mean, we talked about that thing. And, who are you following? And who are you to somebody else or something like that? That's one of those three controversial ones they did a long time ago. Niggerated Christianity was one. Where the total proper definition of nigger in the Bible, in the dictionary, is an acceptable term. And Christians have become that way. I guess I better save the sermon here. Because they expect the pastor to do all the Bible study for them. Expects him to teach his family, expects him to teach the kids, expects him to provide the entertainment over the weekends, expects them, and so the pastor became everybody's nigger. That was what that sermon was about. And it's too bad because it wasn't done in a negative, what would that word be, offensive manner at all. It wasn't meant to be offensive at all. But it sure made the point. Not that, you know, but we've done that. Sunday school for the kids, preschool for the baby, nursery for the babies, get the nursery worker. And they want the pastor to do everything for them. Even give them the wisdom. No, just read your own Bible. It's right there. It's just totally there for you. You don't need anybody else. Nice to have somebody else. Kind of helps get you going. But anyway, so let's just start off with 1 Timothy chapter 6, because this is what we're talking about this morning. It's very simple. And we don't need to do a deep study of the error of Balaam, because we already know in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that if we covet money, if we want money, if that's our whole life, is to grow up and to make money, which we have to do. There's no doubt about that. Remember, Paul says in 1 Corinthians that if you want to get a clean job, you have to leave this earth. Otherwise, you got to work out there with the fornicators and the lost people and the whole deal. But today, man, it's getting harder. Reprobate mind. Not even making legitimate, honest decisions. It's just crazy. But if we let this money need become the love of money is the root of all evil. And everybody, we have to say, it's not money is the root of all evil. It's the love of. You want it so badly, you'll give up your testimony, you give up your modesty, you give up your family, you give up your children. Two people working, they just throw the kids to the school. I mean, the list goes down, down and down and down. Because you want money so bad. Which, again, is what the heir of Balaam is all about. But he says, which while some coveted after. So there are people that covet after this money thing. Here's what happens to them. You'll err from the faith. Your life would become filled with sorrows, because it says, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. And that's a powerful set of a verse right there. Err from the faith, just because you love money. Yeah, you'll drop the Paul thing. You'll drop the risen Savior. You'll drop your King James Bible. You'll drop it all, because you want money so bad. And maybe you won't drop it, but you'll be forced to. Maybe your life is miserable because you can't do something because you don't have the money. And that's the way this world is geared. And it won't take long, and you'll be tired of God, you'll be tired of this Bible, you'll be tired of trying to do right, because in order to work in this place, you got to do wrong. You just have to look wrong, you got to dress wrong, you got to act wrong. It's just, now, we have the freedom in America to stand for what we believe to be right in our lives, but nobody has the guts to do that. We do. We have the liberty in America to say to somebody, you know, you can't make me wear that. Halloween comes along, and people have to wear, for example, pajamas and stuff to work. Well, I'm sorry. No, I don't. Or at the school, we have to dress like bad witchy people. No, I don't. Et cetera, et cetera. Well, you're not as fun anymore. Okay, right. But they can't make us do wrong yet. We still choose some form to. There's a way around anything the world puts on us that makes us do wrong. There's a way around it. There has to be. We have the liberty to. You just might have to fight for it, that's all. And to err from the faith, you'll drop it. You'll do it wrong. You'll err from it. And you'll pierce yourself through. It says, pierce themselves through. It's their own doings. It doesn't say, and will be pierced through with many sorrows. It says, pierce themselves. The misery that we have going on in our lives, a lot of it is just because of us and our love of money. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight, there it is, fight the good fight of faith. It's just that, you know, in some ways, we are so mixed up with what is truth in our day-to-day walk. Like this one guy that wouldn't, he got fired, I guess, because he wouldn't wear a pin or something like that. There's a 666 on it, some kind of a thing going on in the company. Well, the 666 doesn't mean anything yet. Put on the stupid pin. It isn't worth getting fired over. You know, I mean, yes, I guess that's his conviction, that they're convincing, that's fine. But we fight for a lot of things you ought not be fighting for. you know, the Ten Commandments. Well, Ten Commandments, why do you want to fight for the Ten Commandments? First of all, there's only nine. And besides that, Paul gives us a whole bunch more commandments. Are you trying to follow those? So we get into, we get caught up in these things. Even the fight over Christmas. Yeah. He used to say Christmas is the worst time of year for me as a pastor, because we're fighting over, some people have a tree, some people don't have a tree, some people get presents, some people don't get presents, some people do the nativity scene. I've showed scripture, I've showed the nativity scene. There's not 1 ounce of factual truth in the nativity scene, as you see in these plays and stuff. There's nothing right in there, zero, nothing. That isn't what a manger looks like, all those people weren't there. It's just crazy. But hey, you're going to fight over that thing? You know, Romans 14 tells us not to. People weak in the faith. I mean, if you understand Paul, you know how to live in this world. You know how to still be modest. You still know how to be proper with your mouth. You know how not to do the drinking still and still participate. Don't hammer the people for drinking. Just tell them, no thanks. You know, I don't drink. Why don't you drink? Then you can tell them. I mean, there's all sorts of ways of dealing with this stuff. We don't have to fall into this heir of Balaam. We don't have to go the way of Cain. And praise the Lord, we don't have to even worry about the perishing and the gainsaying of Kor. But there's still something to do with the gainsaying. There's still something to do with the heir of Balaam, greed. There's still something to do for us to consider ourselves, are we in the way of Cain? Are we envious? Are the problems we have because we're envious? You know? And envious is usually associated with pride. And we know that only by pride cometh contention. So our envy can be based on pride. I don't have what they have, and your pride is hurt. I can't dress like that. I can't go that kind of places. I can't want to do that kind of stuff. Your pride is hurt, because Christians don't do that, or Christians don't drink. We don't. We ought not smoke. We ought not wear that. You go to the stores, and how do you find clothes anymore? Even guys. Well, I'm a Christian. I can't wear that. I could. I got the liberty. But what are the five things cause somebody to stumble? Is it just because my flesh wants to do it? Is it a power over me? I've just got to have something new. We got that issue, don't we? It's nice to get new lead in your pencil. You know, it's just we're so programmed for something to be new. You don't even use your underarm deodorant all the way to the end because you just want a new one. Like the top half is better working than the bottom half. Or your shampoo for your hair. I like those new bottles. By the time you're done, the label is all rubbed off under the shower walls, you know, and I would want that new stuff. So there's a power over us. Is it expedient? Is it the right thing to do? Does it edify? What we wear, it doesn't. What we do, most of the time, doesn't fit those categories. Where we go, is it causing something? I mean, go down that list. If you're a sincere Christian, you'll know those five things. And you know where they come from, the scriptures, and you'll have the guts and the confidence to do it without being an idiot and a jerk and judging. And, you know, just, it's for you. It's your judgment seat. It's your fire. It's our personal walk with the Lord. If you want to walk a religious walk, you don't care. But if you're walking with the Lord, with your Bible reading and actually praying and asking Him for guidance and stuff, then yeah, these things will become more real to you. But my point again here is that these are things that are coming in. We're getting there. We are running greedily after the heir of Balaam already in so many ways. So let's get into this thing. Enough of my two-cent opinionations in there. Running greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward is about money. First, let's go to 2 Peter 2:15 here. And let's look at... Now, we're not going to go through the whole story of Balaam in Numbers 22 and 23, 24. If you have not read the story, read the story. Get over the thing about the wild ass. It's got to be the craziest thing to watch, to read about, knowing that it's a true story. It's not just a illustration. And then you see the things we're going to talk about here will fit right in. So the way of Balaam. What's the way of Balaam? Well, 2 Peter 2:15. Pretty obvious here. So where it says here, we have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. Eyes full of adultery in verse 14, cannot cease from sin. Again, this is tribulational stuff. Living the life of a natural brute beast. See, we're encouraged to follow the way of Paul, the manner of Paul. Paul's manner of life. And they're called spots in the tribulation days. Yeah, these people cannot stop from doing wrong. They're beguiling unstable souls, verse 14. Covetous practices, cursed children. We're getting pretty close. That'd be a sermon right there. But verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. How did they go astray? What's the right way here? Following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. So what was the way of Balaam? The way of Balaam is he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He liked what he got out of doing wrong. And it isn't just money. It says the wages. Well, the word the wages of sin is what? Is death. It isn't just money. But the wages of unrighteousness, you'll see as we get into this thing, Balaam was willing to get paid for doing wrong. And he knew he was told by God to do some certain thing here, and he went against that, but he found a sneaky way to go against it. And you'll see here that this way of Balaam and the error of Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam, is today's modern pastor, modern preacher, modern Bible teacher, modern author, Christian author. They're all going the way of Balaam. They're doing this stuff for money. Okay, 1 Timothy, again, chapter 6, talks about the fact that they talk about, they say today that the godliness is, how does I say that thing? Oh, come on, my mind is not thinking here. Gain is godliness. That's what they think. These people are Bible correctors that are proud, knowing nothing. 1 Timothy 6, 4, comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Who are these people? These are the people that in verse 3 teach otherwise about workplace and consenting not to wholesome words. They change the words. And that whole thing is part of the, this is the crowd that's out there. If they're not a King James guy, then they fit that those verses in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And one of them is that the gain is godliness. So if they got a lot of people coming to their church, they must be doing right. If they have a lot of people that read their website, they must be doing right. Your family wants to go to a church to where there's other people that are going, because they must be doing right. Sorry for the video, folks, but I got an itch on my back. There we go. Used to do that in the pulpit in Tuesday too, so that's no big deal. And by the way, look at the way they put it in the NIV Bible here. Let me read this to you here. This thing about gain is godliness. You know they got to get rid of that verse, because if that verse in the King James Bible exposes these modern preachers today, pastors, then you know this modern Bible has to change that somehow. And here's what it says here. See if you can hear the difference here. They think that, who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. That's what the NIV Bible says. Who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. That isn't what that says at all. These people believe that gain is godliness. So they totally reverse the meaning, the words of that verse, to change its meaning entirely. You know, it'd be pretty hard to talk to people using their Bible, because their Bibles don't tell you to rightly divide. Their Bibles don't tell you a lot of things that we need to be told today. And there's one of them. Gain is godliness. So I'm going to give you some characteristics here. Ministers of righteousness, Paul calls them. They're devil's people in the pulpits. Devil's people are writing these books. Well, how can you say such a thing? Well, because I got to take the red dot off of White Cottons here. Mark's not here today. He's quite sick, actually. When you realize that these people are not preaching King James Bible, they're against the King James Bible, they teach all these modern Bibles, that kind of thing. Okay, so there's that. These modern pastors are replacing their preaching with music in the churches. You realize that their standards are going down. You realize that they're preaching psychology, using the Bible, which is man's righteousness. When you realize they're going about to establish their own righteousness within the churches, when you realize that if they are a King James Bible guy, they're not rightly dividing. Now, they may say they're rightly divided because they're rightly divided by verse, but we're not supposed to rightly divide by verse. We're supposed to rightly divide according to Paul. So you see these things all going on here. And what's the deal here? It's very simple. They need more numbers. And I understand that. Being a pastor for 13 years or whatever, I was always wanting more people. But not because of the more money. I was wanting more people because I wanted more people to hear what we had to say. That's what I wanted. I was always thrilled when the visitor came in, but I was always more thrilled when the visitor came back a second and third time. I made more of a fuss for a second time visitor. Oh, you came back. Well, we're glad. And that made my day more than somebody, you know, bringing Uncle Henry to church. You know, for Christmas, Uncle Henry's not going to give a flip what you say. He's not going to, it's no big deal to him. So he's heard what he needs to hear. Yeah, I want people to get it. I don't just teach music in the classroom and then say, well, you know, take it or leave it, like a professor does in college. No, you want them to actually learn it. When you homeschool, what a fantastic opportunity. You teach your kids the stuff, you give them the old test, and there's nothing wrong with tests. And when you test them, then you find out what they know and don't know. You just drop it? No. Then you can go back and you can teach them what they don't know. What a fantastic opportunity, homeschooling. Boy, they dropped the ball. Just about every homeschooler I know, not everyone, just about every homeschooler that I know anymore is just lazy. Husbands don't want their wives to do the work it takes to do a good job, and they're too busy, they're envious of other people's homeschools. They try to spend every year trying to find a curriculum that just does it for them. And really what they're looking for is they're looking for a curriculum that makes it easier for them to not have to be such hard teachers. And the mothers give, oh, I could just go down the line, what's going on in homeschools. Anyway, as a matter of fact, you know, as far as making money off of this stuff, that's homeschool curriculums. All that is about making money. Okay, that was the way of Balaam, is the wages of unrighteousness. Now, it says they were forsaking the right way to make money. He was going astray for these wages, for the friendships, or for the payment he was going to get, whatever we're going to get from these people here. Ministers of righteousness, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I think it is. That's what we have, that's what we're dealing with here. In Timothy, it talks about these people have a form of godliness. That's the pastor. It looks religious. And you know, we are so addicted to religion that it kills us to get away from the church scene. It kills us to get away from all the stuff that takes place. And it's the ladies, it's the children, it's the teenagers. It's the teenagers, you got to be around all the other teenagers. Why? They can learn what adults learn. Why should the youth pastor have to bring in music and have all-night parties and bring in, feed them with pizzas and all this kind of junk so they have fun so they come to teen class? What a joke. I always was against that. Anyway, who cares? I'm against. But it's a form of godliness, and they deny the power thereof. What's the power? We talked about this. The power is what Jesus Christ does to us. He spiritually circumcises us away from our flesh. He takes that soul and cuts it away from the flesh. Operation made without hands. He makes us free. And it goes on. There's the power thereof. Denying the power that these Christians maintain that they have a power. Oh, yeah? Well, why can't they quit drinking? Why can't they quit smoking? Why can't they quit cussing? Why can't they stop their dirty stories? Why can't they get the right job? Right? I mean, the whole thing. There's the power of God in my life. No, because even Paul even says in Acts 26, look it up here, Acts 26, he says to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, not from the power of Satan unto the power of God. We can't exercise the power of God in our lives, but the power of God changes us. And we follow these scriptures, and we still got to fight the flesh. So the whole concept in churches is to stop sinning really is not true. It's not right. Christ took care of sin. Now, stop doing these things that are going to burn in the judgment seat because you will be rewarded from the risen Savior because it pleases God. And He cut away the filth and the flesh away from our soul so we can do things that pleases God. Anyway, Romans 10, Romans 3. I remember reading a thing about Balaam here, and it said that he followed the practices of Eastern soothsayers. That was part of one of the things that he did. And it was interesting that they would have said Eastern soothsayers. Let's see if I can remember this. I don't know if I can in Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 6. My memory is really bad here. Isaiah. For he turns to... Yes, there is Isaiah chapter 2, verse 6. There we go. Isaiah 2, verse 6. This is way back. Again, the Old Testament days, obviously. And therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, okay, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and please themselves and the children of strangers. So this replenished from the east, with Balaam going towards the eastern soothsayers, as is put here. Ripinger put out a book many years ago. Oh, it was that black one. It was called, I don't remember what it was called. It had a big dragon on the cover. And it showed how the NIV Bible was taking Eastern teachings and incorporating them into the Bible. For example, instead of calling God God, they called him the One, O-N-E. And I realized that modern Christianity has turned to the Eastern religions, to the Eastern soothsayers, by having their Bibles made Eastern religious. They brought in the concepts, the teachings of Hinduism, for example, and Eastern religion into these modern Bibles. That book caused a pretty big stir, and then again, it's kind of feathered away, I guess, but it's too bad, because that's exactly what's going on with all of our pastors and our churches. They've gone to the Easterns, Eastern mentalities. They've gone to that stuff with their modern Bibles. And the other concept about Balaam that we'll learn here is Balaam wants to do, he's going to do something wrong. He wants to put the curse on Israel, yet he does it in a manner that it's not actually being an official curse. He's New Age Bible versions. There we go. And so what Balaam does here is he finds a way to curse Israel without the outward curse being stated. It makes it look like everything is going fine, but in reality, Israel's being hammered. And pastors today, they're trying to make everybody think everything's fine with God. You treat Israel good, God will bless you. And good sermon, good music, good time going to church, you know, all that kind of stuff. In the meantime, they're going to perish. Perish in the gainsaying of Kor. That's what's going on, and people are dying and going to hell, thinking they have a savior, but they have another Jesus. Paul warns about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think it's 11, chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. There, 1, 2, 3, 4. Another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. That's what's going on. And the only way you can pin this thing down is with the rightly divided King James Bible. It exposes it just like a big flashlight in the middle of the night. Not even a flashlight, just a monstrous light, you know. Balaam's heart was turned towards the world's way of pleasing God. You read Numbers 22, and the phrase given to him for something like that, he's very self-willed. He's going to do it his way. Numbers 23 and 24, double-minded. Evil counselor in Numbers 31:16, he counseled children wrong. Look at Numbers 31:16. How could anybody do such a thing? Numbers 31:16. Look at that. How can anybody do? Well, I'll tell you what. Schools are doing it all the time. Parents are doing it all the time. Family relatives do it all the time. Numbers 31. I'll show you here. Numbers 31, verse 6. What I say here? Numbers 31, 16. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague. Okay? Now, when it's talking about the children of Israel, isn't this talking about the kids? I mean, I realize that. But still, when you see that phrase, the children of Israel, and you think about what we're teaching our children, Look at the things the kids are participating in. Look what it's going to do to their marriages, to their girls. Look what it's doing to our men. Our boys are growing up and still being boys. They're soft little wishy-washy boys. The girls are coming out to be the strengthening ones. Why? The girls have got the sports. The girls have got the liberation. The girls have got this and the girls have got that. The girls are dressing like guys. The whole thing. Girls are doing all the jobs. And they start when they're little. So he's listed as an evil counselor. You know, Paul tells us that we're from such turn away from these people that say gain is godliness. Well, the error of Balaam is that he didn't turn away. Okay, look at Numbers 24. Let's go to Numbers 24. The problem is Balaam knew what he was supposed to do. Look at Numbers 24, verse 10. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou wast altogether bless them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee into great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. So Balaam had a chance. He was doing the right thing. But what did he do? Look at verse 25. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. And you'll see as you read through these chapters here that Balaam, he goes right back to Balak. So the error that Balaam did, the way of Balaam was money. Forsaking the right way, going astray, he loved the wages, he loved what he got out of doing wrong. And he went mad over it. He followed Eastern soothsayers. He said to people, if you bless Israel, God will bless you. May we hear that today. He counseled people wrongly. By the time he was done, he had gone back to the way it was. So, what's the running greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward? It's to go back the way things were so we can make a buck. In Balaam's case, he was able to get Israel cursed because of what he did. Everybody thought everything was fine. He taught them falsely, and he made a buck. Love of money. Paul warns us all the time about it. The debt we can incur. I mean, we just go into debt little by little by little. And it's the way the government wants it to be. I realize that. Medical bills. I've got medical bills that we get behind on and some other things. But nothing like somebody, like we have one of our website families has a brain tumor. She also has cancer. Look at the surgery that you have. Look how much that stuff costs. $25,000 to have something, it's just $50,000, $100,000. And 80% of $100,000 still leaves us with a hefty bill. So this debt thing is being forced upon us because that's how they control us. So we realize that. I was watching a documentary on Roosevelt, how he didn't just give people money. I give Roosevelt credit for this thing, just to put the country in debt. But he didn't just give welfare to people. He made the guys go off and work. The core of the CCC, the whatever that thing was called, WPA. They made them work for their money. So he gave them the strength. That gave the country some strength. So that part of it, now we're not doing that today. We're just giving them the money. And so everybody's just going to go after this money thing. And it's based on false teachings. These guys in churches are preaching a false gospel, another message, another spirit, another gospel, another Jesus. And they're getting paid for it. Now, if just real quick, like, you look at Revelation chapter 2, let's touch base on the doctrine of Balaam. You've got the way, you've got the air, and you've got the doctrine. But this is a quick one. Revelation 2, talking to the church of Pergamos here. Revelation 2, 14 and 15. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. okay, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. He got them to do wrong. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So during the tribulation with these seven churches, which we still haven't got this thing all figured out here, Revelation 1 to 7, but 1 to 3, but the doctrine of Balaam taught these people a false doctrine. And we know that the error of Balaam was that he went back to Balak, and the way of Balaam was to do wrong for the money. So, there you are. Read the story. Get past the dumb ass that does the talking, which is pretty spectacular self in itself, but get to the real thing you learned from Balaam and Balak. Balaam did what he did for money. Why do we do what we do? Why are we doing wrong? Why are we dressing wrong? Why are we talking wrong? Why are we drinking? Why are we smoking? Why are we doing such and such and such and such? Why can't we stop? Envy and the love of money. And the world makes us envious, and the world makes us become greedy. Now, just for a couple of seconds here, go to Jude, and let's finish this thing up here. What's the perishing of Kor? Well, Kor is one of the three different ways of spelling the word Korah. And let's go here to Numbers 16. This is a quick story. This is the quick stuff here, Numbers 16. Korah, or Kor, is the bunch that whined against Moses, and God killed him. Numbers 16, verse 1. Here's their whine. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, Dathan and Abiram, etc., etc., took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, whine, whine, whine. And so God killed them. Now we'll talk about that one tonight. Is that going to happen to us? No, it's not going to happen to us. But still, this is where this whole thing is headed. I still believe today, many people think they're saved, and they're not. Their salvation is not based on... Look at. We'll finish up here. Look at Ephesians. I think this is a serious thing, because it talks about in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Okay, is an NIV the word of truth? No, it's not. So if it's not the word of truth, how can it be the gospel of our salvation? It's just bottom line. Are people thinking they're Christians today when they really are just, they got religion, but they don't have salvation? If that's the case, they will perish. Now what's the gain saying of, what is gain saying of Kor? We'll look at that tonight. So there's this morning, there was the error of Balaam that was going back just because of money. Willing to do wrong because you need the money. That's tough stuff. I have to be honest, I'm in a public school. I can't believe what they're doing to the kids. Well, I'm trying to teach them. I don't believe I've done anything in a wrong music fashion yet. I hope never to do so, but I need the money. I tried let's go start a church, let's have people help the cause. Well, that wasn't lasting long enough to keep us going. We have to be coming to the end, folks. We have to be getting near to the end. The kids that are in our schools, in our homes, our homeschoolers, they haven't got a clue. They don't want to have a clue. They're spoiled. They're whinies. They're the boys are just little girly boys, and the girls are being taught to be the tough ones. The whole thing is a disaster based on what the Paul says. But they're headed up towards the tribulation based on what Peter and Jude and James and John our warning to them, we can see it happening today more and more. So there you are. There's the stuff for today. We'll talk to you all tonight and see where this goes.